the biggest misconception people have about Roger Ver?
They think I'm the founder of Bitcoin Cash. I had nothing to do with the creation of Bitcoin Cash in any way, shape, or form.
Welcome to the Encrypted Podcast, your gateway to the future of technology and innovation, right here in the heart of Dubai's dynamic tech universe. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and together with Dubai Blockchain Center, we are embarking on a journey that unravels the minds of tech visionaries through the digital frontiers that are shaping our world. Hello and welcome everyone to the Encrypted Podcast. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and today we're really happy to have Roger Ver, who was the first in the world investor in Bitcoin-related startups, and he's the earliest major promoter of Bitcoin and later Bitcoin Cash. Ver has sometimes been referred as Bitcoin Jesus. He is also a co-founder of Bitcoin.com, crypto exchange, blockchain.com, ripple.com, and much more. So we are really happy to have you here and to have our discussion with Dubai's Blockchain Center's Encrypted Podcast and our podcast. You came actually to Dubai right now for the Satoshi Roundtable. Can you please tell us a bit what kind of discussions are you excited the most about? And in this case, what do you want to discuss? And why, for example, do you attend Satoshi Roundtable each year as well?
Yeah, so I'm still excited today about the same things I was excited about when I first got involved in Bitcoin about 14 years ago now, almost something that. So, which is empowering individuals to have more control over their own lives, their own finances, and their own everything, right? Where people can send and receive any amount of money with anyone else, anywhere in the world, without needing permission from anybody else. And to me, that's a really, really important thing that makes the entire world a better place for everybody. And I want to see more economic freedom in the world. And cryptocurrencies are the best tools we've ever had to bring more economic freedom to the world. And so that's why I'm here today at the 10th Satoshi Roundtable. So,
have you attended each of the Satoshi Roundtables like from its inception?
Yeah, I definitely was at the first one, and then the second one, and then the third one. And then, I don't know, I went to maybe the fourth, fifth, and sixth. And then I took a couple year break there. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm back again for the 10th anniversary one as well.
By the way, I remember in 2018, you had a very, really heated debate with Jimmy Song, because he was like proponent all the time of Bitcoin, BTC specifically. And at that time, you were already promoting Bitcoin Cash. And you said that this is like the original vision of Satoshi Nakamoto that was released in his white paper, nine pager of Bitcoin BTC. So why do you believe for those our audience who are like maybe new to crypto, why do you believe that Bitcoin Cash is like the real Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's not my opinion that BTC is no longer Bitcoin. It's a fact. Anybody can go and read the original Bitcoin white paper written by Satoshi Nakamoto, the man who created Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's entitled A Peer-to-Peer Electronic Cash System. Yes. Today, the proponents of BTC aren't even trying to make it usable as cash. It's all about using custodians and just holding and never selling. And like, for me, it was always supposed to be cash for the entire world. And so like, if the fact that BTC isn't even trying to be peer-to-peer electronic cash means it's not Bitcoin. And if you look at it, what actually happened through a lot of dirty tricks and underhanded things, like the Bitcoin brand was stolen for a project that's not even Bitcoin. And in fact, I have a book coming out this year that's called exactly that. It's called Hijacking Bitcoin. Available everywhere.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. So look for that coming later this year. Mm-hmm. And it'll lay out all the different things that happened in the history of Bitcoin and how literally the entire Bitcoin project was hijacked by a bunch of people who hate the original idea of Bitcoin as peer-to-peer cash for the entire world. And so, it's not just my opinion. It's a fact, and we lay out all the details with we brought the citations for every last little detail there. People will be stunned at the way that the Bitcoin project itself was hijacked and morphed into something that today is still called. Mm-hmm. BTC has the Bitcoin name, but it's not the version of Bitcoin that made people excited about early on.
But why, for example, do you believe that still the majority of customers, they stayed with BTC.com?
They didn't stay with BTC.com. They just stayed with the brand that they thought they knew, but they didn't have any understanding of the underlying technology. Mm-hmm. It's just like in the earliest days of Bitcoin, when nobody knew Bitcoin, everybody said, oh, that's stupid, that's just a scam, that's dumb. People said that more recently about Bitcoin Cash because it's something new. But is Bitcoin Cash going to win in the end? I don't know. Maybe it'll be Ethereum. It'll be Monero. Maybe it'll be Zeno. There's thousands of different cryptocurrencies out there now. And I've never been a Bitcoin maximalist or a Bitcoin Cash maximalist. I've been a whatever works for as money for the entire world maximalist. And that's why, I literally co-founded Ripple and helped co-found Zcoin, which later rebranded to Fira, and a bunch of other ones out there. So I'm a fan of anything that works for people all over the world. And Bitcoin Cash works amazingly well, but so do lots of other cryptocurrencies at this point. And one that probably has one of the worst user experiences other than price appreciation is BTC, the thing that's called Bitcoin today. Like the price has gone amazing. So from an investment standpoint, it's been amazing. But the actual functionality for people as cash is not very good. There's lots of other currencies that work significantly better.
So actually, as you mentioned, you've really co-founded quite a lot of projects in crypto world. But is there one that you're the most proud of?
I think it's one that people don't even realize exists today because it was before almost everybody got involved in Bitcoin. But in 2012, I believe, I founded BitcoinStore.com. Mm-hmm. And back when I founded this website, there was basically nowhere that you could spend your Bitcoin to buy anything other than illegal drugs. Mm-hmm. And so we needed a website that would allow people to spend Bitcoins on normal things that aren't illegal. And so I launched BitcoinStore.com with more than 500,000 consumer electronics products at prices on average cheaper than Amazon.com. And my gosh, did the orders pour in. We sold millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of consumer electronics for Bitcoin. I went on Fox News and all these other major news shows telling people about Bitcoin. And in fact, there's some clip online. You can see the Fox News anchors are making fun of me for only accepting Bitcoin at BitcoinStore.com. Mm-hmm. And so that's got to be rough. And like the price of Bitcoin behind me in the ticker there while I'm giving the interviews, I think it was like $35 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but like, you know, who has last laugh now? Clearly, I was right about that. But the reason Bitcoin became so popular is because people could use it for payments. And so like, what's going to wind up being super popular is the store of value around the world in the end. Maybe it'll be Bitcoin, but I think it'll be whatever people wind up using as money. So whatever people are able to use for payments all over the world, that's what they're going to want to store their value in. Just like people here in the UAE store their value in AED, right?
Yes.
And in the US, they use dollars. In Europe, they use euros. For both their spending money and their savings, there's not really an instance where it's going to be two different things.
Well, actually, talking about Bitcoin Store, how is it going right now? Because in this case, if I'm not mistaken, in the past, there were a lot of American users. With the current regulations in the US, is it possible? Does it still exist? Or
so I launched BitcoinStore.com in 2012, and I think I shut it down in, 2015 or so. Uh-huh. What I did is I just went on social media and I was tagging, Newegg.com and Amazon.com and all these major retailers in the US saying, hey, look at all the orders we're getting for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. You guys should start accepting Bitcoins at your website as well. And when they finally did, then there wasn't a need for BitcoinStore.com anymore. So I shut that down. And I'm sorry, there's a second half of your question as well?
No. That's just like, you actually came, one of the things that I also wanted to discuss with you, because for me is...
I do remember the second half was about regulations in the US. So tomorrow marks the 10-year anniversary of me having renounced my US citizenship and one of the happiest days of my entire life. And when governments don't treat you very well, you should go to another place where the governments will treat you better. And the US government didn't treat me very well. So I gladly left and I have a golden visa here in the UAE. So I'm super proud to be a golden visa holder here in the UAE as well, and spend a fair amount of time here.
Congratulations.
As well. And a lot of people won't know it also, but Abu Dhabi is one of the capitals of the entire world for my hobby outside of cryptocurrency, which is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So Abu Dhabi, they actually have what's called the Abu Dhabi Combat Club, which is like the world championships.
So do you right now live in UAE?
Not full time, but I spend part of each year here for sure.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So in this case, welcome to UAE, as they say, welcome to Dubai as well.
Thank you.
Dubai, home for innovations. Coming back to when I was saying, one of the additional things that I actually wanted to discuss with you, especially as a proponent of cryptocurrency, but what is your stand on CBDCs when the blockchain technology is used for the central bank digital currency?
Yeah, that's what's so exciting about digital currencies and blockchains here is that now we have competition in what gets to be money. So previously, like every single person all over the world, depending on what country they're in, had to use AED or use the dollar or the euro, and there wasn't much competition between these at all. You just use whatever was the government-issued currency in the country that you're living. Mm-hmm. Now with blockchains, we have a choice. Do we use Bitcoin? Do you use Bitcoin Cash? Do you use Monero? Do you use Zeno? Do you use Zcoin? Do you use Zcash? Mm-hmm. There's so many. Do you use USDT, right? Like, there's so many choices out there now. And when people have more choices, that leads to, more competition in the market. More competition leads to, better quality products at a lower price. And so we've seen that within the different blockchains too. Like Ethereum's fees got real high. So a lot of people, switched over to other chains with lower fees, or the same with Bitcoin as well. The fees became so high, so people switched to Bitcoin Cash or others out there. So it's leading to a better user experience for people all over the planet. And that's a great thing. And central bank issued digital currencies, they're going to have to compete on the free market because you can't stop. You can't shut down these other digital currencies out there because of their distributed, decentralized, censorship-resistant nature.
So, by the way, it's really interesting because quite a lot of, let's say, as you mentioned, you're not Bitcoin maximalist or BTC, BCH maximalist. Yeah. So you're in this case, let's say, more loyal towards CBDCs, yes? Because
I'm more loyal to whatever works as money for people around the world. And
for economic freedom.
And each individual can choose. Like if they like using Tether, go for it. If they like using Bitcoin Cash, go for it. If they like using Bitcoin, go for it. If they like Monero, go for it. Zeno, go for it. Use whatever. If you want to use quarters, you know, old pieces of metal in your pocket or pieces of paper, go ahead and do that. You can do whatever you want because it's your life and you can decide what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. By the way, one of the interesting things that I was also following like throughout the years, but there hasn't been like too many news about the smart contracts on Bitcoin Cash. Although there is, can you please update us about Cash Script? Because, for example, right now you're definitely following probably about the news about smart contracts built on top of Bitcoin blockchain as well. I know the team that is building them as well. I also was following what is happening with DeFi and BCH, although there hasn't been so many news. So maybe you'll update us what is going on right now there. And are there some exciting DeFi projects coming on top of Bitcoin Cash blockchain?
Yeah, so the last 2 years, actually, I was a bit busier dealing with some things in my personal life, so I didn't get to follow it as closely as I would like. But there was a company called CoinFlex that had a bridge between Bitcoin Cash and Smart BCH, which was an EVM-compatible sidechain to Bitcoin Cash. And that ecosystem was really starting to pick up and get some traction. And unfortunately, the bridge between the two wasn't decentralized yet. There were plans to have that be completely trustless and permissionless. But in the interim, this company called CoinFlex was holding all the bridged funds. And sadly, they ran away with all the bridge funds and destroyed that entire Smart BCH ecosystem. The founders of that exchange are probably going to wind up going to jail at some point here soon, and deservedly so. They stole, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of people's money, and including a lot of my own, and destroyed the entire Smart BCH ecosystem. But more recently, there's been another development called Cash Tokens on top of BCH, which is a UTXO-based chain, but with its own tokens, and they've already built some DEXs on top of that. And that ecosystem seems to be taking off, but I haven't been able to follow it as closely as I would like recently due to focusing on some other issues in my personal life.
By the way, can you share some of them?
The personal issues?
Yes, maybe they have something to do with business. That's why you kind of moved to UAE, I suppose.
No. My issues with the US were 25 years ago. Uh-huh. I had some girl issues in my life that was a little bit difficult for me to deal with. So
I understood. So coming back to actually when you said about CoinFlex, there has been a lot of news like over the last 2 years. So how did you survive that, taking into account also saga with FTX? Did you, can I ask you, have you lost a lot of money at FTX or?
So I lost some money indirectly on FTX. I had lent crypto to people who then lent it to FTX. And so I lost some there. The big one that I'd love to set the record with straight. So like 2 years ago now, mm-hmm. I sued CoinFlex, mm-hmm. but the lawsuit had a confidentiality clause. Nobody's allowed to talk about it. So, and I still have lots of assets. The founders of CoinFlex had no assets. They intentionally broke the confidentiality clause of the lawsuit, went on major media saying that I owe them a bunch of money and this and that. All were lies. They claimed they were suing me. Mm-hmm. They were the defendants. I initiated the lawsuit mm-hmm. against them. So anyhow, the entire thing went on. I don't know, maybe it took 18 months or something like that. They spent the rest of their customers' money defending my lawsuit when they finally ran out of money. They knew they were going to get destroyed when it actually went to the final arbitration mm-hmm. and I was going to win judgment. So they settled the entire thing with me, agreeing that I'm owed more than $100 million from them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll be able to collect that, but I'm still going after that. But really disappointing to see them, you know, lying in the media. And like, I'm looking forward to those people going to jail at some point here soon because they really defrauded a lot of people with not just innocent mistakes, but directly and intentionally lying to person after person after person to defraud thousands, if not tens of thousands of people around the world, maybe even more. And there were a lot of people that really got hurt by the CoinFlex and their lies, and they damaged the whole BCH ecosystem as well.
But taking also into account that it's not like one example of when people are being defrauded of, and they are like got rid of, they get their funds stolen, what they are supposed to do. So what's your piece of advice to someone who, for example, as you have been like a victim, like let's say not victim, but you've been defrauded.
Yeah, a victim of fraud, yeah.
Yes. So what is, because honestly, a lot of things why we are not probably achieving that mass adoption that everybody's talking about is because people are still afraid to be like, let's say, one of the next customers of similar defunct right now crypto exchange that has been there, got a lot of traction, got a lot of users, got a lot of trust. But then at some point, they kind of betray that trust.
Yeah, people should be careful. Yeah. And the fact that people are being careful makes the existing institutions have to be more forthright about what they have on deposit and what mm-hmm. they're doing and makes it safer. And If you look at it, yeah, lots of people have been cheated or defrauded using cryptocurrency, but how many people have been cheated or defrauded of their dollars or their euros or you know, any other currency around the world? And banks go under and people lose their, you know, traditional government deposits at the banks as well. They say, oh, they have insurance, but sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. So like, buyer beware, like don't, you know, and that's what's so important about being able to self-custody your crypto. If you're holding the crypto yourself, you don't have to trust or believe anybody else out there in regards to that.
Also, as a chairman of Bitcoin.com crypto exchange, can you please update us what is going on with Bitcoin.com? I also remember you used to have very popular, and you still have Bitcoin.com news media. So you were also trying even to educate people with your media. Can you please update us what is going on with Bitcoin.com?
Yeah, so Bitcoin.com, first, it's not a crypto exchange. So it's a wallet, it's a news site, yes, it's a portal to the ecosystem of cryptocurrency there.
But you could also exchange within the wallet.
You can within the wallet, but it's actually, we're using like outside services for that. So it's not, it's Bitcoin.com never is holding customer money. So your Bitcoin.com wallet
was not a custodial.
Is a wallet. And I think it does the whole ecosystem a really big disservice, like when they call these things wallets that aren't wallets. And so two of the most prominent examples of that are like, this Strike wallet that everybody's using in like El Salvador and other places, like it's not a wallet. It's an account. And they're even blocking US customers now. So
yeah, but it also depends whether it's custodial or non-custodial wallet. So in this case,
so if the user's holding the funds themselves, that's a wallet. If the company is holding the funds, it's not a wallet.
So
it's an account.
So you're saying that custodial wallets are not wallets?
It depends on who you mean by the custodian, right? So like,
yes, because for example, there are plenty of right now custodial wallets. Some of them, again, in 2022, people got burned because of them. Yeah. Because for example, they're like, for example, they're staking their USDT, like even stablecoins, not only crypto, and they are earning some passive income on that. And from this perspective, like throughout the years, like it has become pretty popular. But by the way, not everyone knows that, for example, if it's a there is a difference between custodial and non-custodial wallet. So can you please, in this case, you're saying that all custodial wallets are not wallets.
They're accounts, right? And so another saying in the crypto ecosystem for a long time has been not your keys, not your coins.
Yeah.
But I think you can adjust that to say not your keys, not your wallet, right? So if you don't have the keys, it's not your wallet, it's an account. And so another example of basically fraud is another wallet called Wallet of Satoshi, right? It's this Lightning Network wallet that's not a wallet. It's an account. Why would you call an account a wallet? You're deceiving all these people that aren't, and you can't expect everybody to dive deeply into, you know, all the underlying technology of these things. But if you're running a custodial account, don't call it a wallet. You're doing the entire world a disservice, and you're cheating your users of your service as well. So
coming back to Bitcoin.com, to your wallet, what is going on right now?
So I stepped down. I'm not involved in Bitcoin.com directly at all for about 2 years to focus on some other things in my personal life. But there's a wallet. You can send and receive Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, this and that, like Avalanche, a whole bunch more and more coming as well. And so like basically, I'm clearly a little bit biased, but I do think it's the easiest wallet to use in the entire world to send and receive cryptocurrency. It's an absolutely fantastic wallet. Give it a try if you haven't already. And again, you can buy and sell or swap your cryptocurrencies right there from within the wallet as well.
When I also mentioned about educational activities, because at that time, previously at Bitcoin News Media, Bitcoin.com News Media, you could also like find a lot of things that people could learn about BTC and etc. Are you right now working on any educational activities, maybe here in UAE, or maybe have you been like doing it somewhere else in other country?
Yeah, well, now that I have my personal issues mostly squared away again, I plan to be a bit more active in the space, both here in the UAE and other places around the world. There's a Bitcoin Cash conference happening in Slovenia, which is the home of Naka.com. I'm wearing one of their shirts right now as an investor. Mm-hmm. They've rolled out cryptocurrency payments to thousands, and maybe they've crossed the tens of thousands of merchants around the world at this point. And then there's another one that's happening in Argentina. It's really exciting to see what's going on in Buenos Aires and Argentina there, with kind of like, Argentina used to be one of the wealthiest countries in the entire world, and they went down the path of, you know, socialism and government control, and they've become, you know, one of the poorer countries in the world. But now they're quickly on the way back on the right path again here with the election of Milei. Really exciting to see that. And there's been a huge, huge active crypto community right there in Argentina. And the last time I went was, I don't know, 2015 or 16 or something like that. So I'm looking forward to going back there again, but that should be exciting as well.
Do you believe this is because the president is a proponent of Austrian economic school?
Yeah. Not only is he a proponent of Austrian economics, he's a full-on anarcho-capitalist philosophically. And from a practical standpoint, he's a minarchist. And I think that's the same way I would sum up my own view of the world as well. So it's
I was just going to ask you, are you like totally supporting him, for example, from this perspective,
Philosophically, no, but practically, yes, right? So philosophically, I don't think we need rulers and people to boss us all around. But from a practical standpoint, countries still exist, and there are people that are laying the ground rules. And it's really exciting to see what he's doing there. So I'm watching from afar with a lot of enthusiasm, I suppose.
Encrypted is your exclusive ticket to the epicenter of technological innovations in the MENA region. So, by the way, what attracts you here in UAE? Because you actually came and you, as you said, you spent a lot of time here. For how many years do you live here already?
I'd have to check the date. Maybe I got the golden visa in 2018, maybe, or something like that.
Really?
Why don't we check right now? I have it right here in my pocket. I'll tell you the exact issue date here. So my 10-year anniversary of renouncing my U.S. citizenship is coming up, and this was issued on... I feel like it was, but 2021, August 23rd. Yeah. So there we go.
So you've been here like for quite a while at the same time. Can you please say, with everything that is happening in UAE, how much excited are you? And what is, in this case, like excites you the most again?
And you can
not feel, only about Satosh your own table, but also about other things.
And you can feel like the UAE is one of the premier countries in the entire world with like one of the highest levels of economic freedom. Economic freedom drives economic growth. Economic growth drives everyone's standard of living higher and higher and higher. This is where it's happening. And as soon as you come to either Dubai or Abu Dhabi or anywhere around here, you can feel the economic energy and the activity that's going on. So it's a really fun place to be. And I was talking to another person who said he lived in Hong Kong for like 20 years. He goes, this feels like Hong Kong did 20 years ago with all the stuff happening and the economic freedom that goes with it. So it's really a really great place to be. And of course, the weather's fantastic. 9 months out of the year. So.
That's true. Can you please say, so you've been like working on a book. Was it like, were you writing it here or were you writing most of the time somewhere else outside?
Yeah, so I have a partner that we wrote it together and we've been working on it for a couple of years now too. In fact, it got sidetracked a little bit or delayed due to those other personal issues I had, but it's ready and it's submitted to the publishers already. So
can you please tell us like more about the book? Because I'm really curious, what are you going as well like to discuss there? And everybody who's watching us, maybe they could be able later on to read it. And what exactly they should be looking for? What kind of information they can find there? Something exclusive? Are you going to share something exclusive information with us?
Well, I think it'll be exclusive to anybody that reads the book as well. A lot of people don't know the history because most people weren't around in Bitcoin in 2011, 2012, 2013. I was right there on the front line for all of it. And so for one example, like people don't realize this, that Bitcoin used to work fantastic for payments and that people intentionally changed the BTC version of Bitcoin to make it less useful for payments. It's like one example of that is this thing called replace by fee, which makes Bitcoin transactions allow chargebacks, right? Like it used to be Bitcoin transactions, as soon as you sent it, that was the end. There's no chargeback. A man who claimed to work for a three-letter agency in the US, right? So that'd be the NSA or FBI or CIA or somebody like that, literally paid to have this advocate to have this change made to Bitcoin and somehow managed to get it in when nobody wanted it, nobody asked for it. It's a bad idea. It made Bitcoin less usable for payments. And like that's public knowledge for anybody that looks, but I think most people have no idea that that was the case. And the same sort of thing was true with lobbying for the block size to be limited on Bitcoin, which makes it less usable for payments. Like that was literally a man working for the United States intelligence agencies advocating and paying to have that done. And people don't know that, but it's all in the book with citations right there for the whole world to see. So like, don't think, if you go back and think for a moment or two, who has the most to lose from Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies becoming the money of the world? It's the US dollar, because it has the most traction around the world and the most people use that for commerce around the world. If Bitcoin or some other currency takes that spot, the US is in big, big, big trouble. So of course they would want to do whatever they can to prevent that from actually happening. And I think that actually took place with Bitcoin intentionally on purpose. And I brought receipts. So buy the book to see all the details for yourself, or we'll probably make it all available online for free as well.
Oh, thank you. Can you please tell us, have you been like following closely and are you excited about Bitcoin ETF news?
To be honest, I'm not that excited about it. Like,
because I was really curious. Quite a lot of people as well who are like, let's say, who are buying crypto. So they're not exactly so focused on the, let's say, futures and other like products like ETF. Like in particular. And right now with the news that the next one after Bitcoin might be Ethereum. And I already seen in the news that there are also like talks about BCH ETFs. Mm-hmm. Are you excited about that? Is there a potential or do you want to see this or not?
I'm not that excited about any of them. I'm not opposed to any of them. Like the more things that people can trade, like the better. But for me, the point of cryptocurrencies is to be able to use them as currencies. Mm-hmm. And so like the main reason there's these other ETFs is because it's hard to physically take custody of whatever it is that you're trading with other ETFs.
Yeah.
With crypto, it's as easy as can be to take custody yourself. And so like the fact that like a lot of these institutions are using ETFs, like, okay, that's fine, but it's not that exciting for me. What's really exciting is empowering each individual to have complete control of their own money. And with Bitcoin, you don't need that too much because, but with Bitcoin Cash, you need it even less because the fees are so low and the transactions are so fast. And so like, we'll see. I think the rest of these will be coming. You'll see the Ethereum and the Bitcoin Cash. And I think there's, you know, Grayscale launched a whole bunch of them. So credit to where credit is due to Grayscale to kind of like, you know, paving the road for that to come to fruition here. And it's nice to see that happening, but it's not something that I would, you know, I wasn't excited about it ever. And I'm not excited about today. Like, let's build actual people being able to use this in commerce in their daily lives. And that's why I'm such a big fan of Naka.com as well, because they're literally rolling it out to the entire world where you'll be able to pay with your cryptocurrencies at anywhere that's accepting credit mm-hmm. cards currently. So
interesting. By the way, when you said you're not exactly excited about ETF, a lot of people were excited about the news because they were expecting the price of Bitcoin to go significantly high. If you haven't noticed it right now, when are you expecting for the bull run everybody is expecting? Is it like around Bitcoin halving, or you're not exactly excited about that either?
I don't know. I'm not a professional trader, but what all the professional traders say is that what you say, you buy on the rumor and sell on the news. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of already saw that, right? The price of Bitcoin is almost double what it was, I don't know, 6 or 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that was because people thought this was coming. And then I guess now is my time to complain to the SEC in the United States. Their job is literally to try and protect consumers and keep them safe. They let their Twitter account get hacked. And then like, if they can't keep their own Twitter account safe, and then the hacking was used to promote Bitcoin stuff, how can they possibly protect consumers about anything if they can't even keep their own Twitter account safe? So I don't know what's going to happen with all this, but I think, you know, markets are always trying to predict where the price is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of already saw that run up predicting both the ETF and the halving, right? It's not like the halving is going to be like a surprise event when we don't know when it comes. Like, we've known for you know, over a decade when each halving is going to be, right? Since the very inception of Bitcoin, we've known about when each halving is going to be. So I think those things are probably already mostly priced into the ecosystem, but things change from day to day, right? We'll see what happens next.
As really proponent of economic freedom with crypto, there are so many, again, challenges that we discussed, but there are so many challenges that might be ahead. Is there any that you can share with us, the ones that might be, I don't know, help our viewers to be like, aware of them
with cryptocurrency
and so much awaited crypto adoption?
Yeah, I think the best example is like, try using cryptocurrency as currency. Like, book your plane tickets using cryptocurrency, do your online shopping using cryptocurrency, use cryptocurrency as money, and then take the traditional money that you would normally be using for those things and use it to buy more cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way we can really spread this to the entire world. And as more and more people use cryptocurrency, there'll be more and more shops that accept it. It'll become easier and easier. There'll be more businesses around it. We can literally finally have a separation of money and state. And a separation of money and state is a great thing for the entire world. It'll lead to, you know, greater peace, more economic trade, fewer wars, like just a better world all the way around. So,
is there any project that you're working on right now in UAE that you haven't mentioned yet, and we don't know exactly about, but you can announce it here today?
I don't know if it's UAE specific, because cryptocurrencies are for everybody worldwide. And so, like, for example, like the man behind the camera here is from Syria, right? And I was born in the US, but I think that we can be great friends because we both love cryptocurrency. Like, that's one of the wonderful parts about the UAE, is people from all over the world can get along. And even if the governments behind both those people's countries where they were born don't get along so great, the people themselves can get along great. And like, I love that about the UAE in general. Like, anywhere you go, you know, I was born in the US. The US and Russia are having, you know, the governments are having some problems. I'm training jujitsu with a whole bunch of Russian guys. They love me. I love them. It's great. We're practicing choking each other, but we still like each other. It's just so much fun. And so like, I really want to give credit to the UAE for really setting the standard for like, being the great place where people can just get along and collaborate with any sort of business. And I really, really love that about the UAE.
Rapid fire questions. If you had to explain crypto to a child, how would you do this in one sentence?
Crypto is just money, but it's money for anyone of any age.
Tell us about some story in crypto that not everybody knows. Short story.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know that I'm the one that gave the nickname of a CZ to Changping Zhao, right? The founder of Binance.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Name five qualities that you believe a real entrepreneur should have.
think honesty is the most important part, and realizing that you're serving your customer.
One.
Right. You have to be motivated and have like that drive and energy. So there's three.
Two.
No. Honesty.
Honesty.
Yeah. Realizing that you're serving the customers. You're not serving yourself. You're serving your customers.
Okay. It has to be separate.
Drive and energy.
Okay.
Right. So.
What is four?
And then you have to have a good idea, of course.
Okay.
And then you have to build a good team around you.
Okay.
So that's five.
The biggest misconception people have about Roger Ver.
They think I'm the founder of Bitcoin Cash. I had nothing to do with the creation of Bitcoin Cash in any way, shape, or form.
Understood. What would you never do while building a company?
What would I never do? I would never be lazy. I'd be focused on building it.
Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Ethereum.
What is the moment in your blockchain career that you're proud of the most?
I think most people don't know about it today, but BitcoinStore.com was a major, major turning point for crypto adoption worldwide.
The moment you would like to forget?
I had some girl problems recently. I'd like to forget that.
Finish the sentence. My business philosophy is?
Serving your customers to make the world a better place.
Amazing. You describe a perfect day for you.
Work and jiu-jitsu and dinner with friends. Perfect.
How often do you practice your keynote speech before going to the stage?
Almost never.
Really?
Maybe zero, yeah.
Okay. If you could time travel, which era would you like to visit and why?
Into the future. Every day I'm going one step ahead into the future.
The most overrated blockchain project in your opinion?
Most overrated?
Yes.
Blockchain project. Almost all of them, I think.
So. And the most underrated?
I don't know, because we wouldn't know about it yet. It's so underrated, I'm not even aware of it.
Okay. And if there were a movie about your life, how would you call it?
There have been quite a few movies documenting parts of my life, but what would I call it? I don't know.
Yourself. Let's say you're your own director, you're an actor. I hope protagonist, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't thought about that one before. I'll have to let you know next time.
Okay. Your personal formula for success?
Don't be lazy. Get up there and do things and do it sooner rather than later.
And Dubai for you is associated with?
Economic freedom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today we had Roger Ver, the world's first investor in Bitcoin, Bitcoin-related startups, and the earliest major promoter of Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Jesus, they call them, co-founder of Bitcoin.com, Blockchain.com, Ripple.com, and many more. Thank you so much for joining our Encrypted podcast, and see you next time. From the gleaming skyscrapers of Dubai to the innovation hubs of the Middle East and beyond, Encrypted brings you thought-provoking discussions, exclusive insights, and stories of innovation that will leave you inspired.